Footy Spirit has pinched the Oaks by 4 lengths.
But a champion becomes a legend. Makati Deaver has won it.
Hello and welcome.com and the Den Mondays Rugby League Grand Final result aside. What a weekend it was of racing at least. Roger Aldridge here alongside my stable mate Richard Evan from Wolf Den. Rich, welcome to you. Drama in two states, one courtesy of the weather gods, the other courtesy of the stewards who are kind of like racing gods in some people's eyes. Anyway.
Yeah, I love the day of racing. I think I'm probably going to be on the other side of the fence when it comes to the stewards. I think you're talking about the Metropolitan. We'll get to that later. But great day racing. So much to unpack. So much racing news. I'm ready to rip in.
All right, well, let's get to our straight six. Chris Waller's almost like a racing god, and he kicks off our straight six.
The straight six.
The Great Wall of Waller, as you've coined it here, Rich. We had to wait a little longer for the Turnbull Stakes to run because of lightning strikes in the area of Flemington. And, of course, the races at the Valley on Friday night were abandoned because of that same thing. But the track had been downgraded. That meant questions over Via Sestina if she could handle the softer track. And did she ever? What a fantastic fighting win.
Yeah, she handled it well. Put that to bed. Now the next question is, how will she handle the Valley? The Cox Plate, the Ladbrokes Cox Plate's looking like being one of the best additions ever. And there's a bit of news to be thrown into the mix. So Tony Otterbray was on radio this morning on Giddy Up saying that the focus is now very much the Cox Plate and Pride of Jenny might not go to the King Charles, which has often long been talked about. So that will throw a bit of a spanner into the works in the Cox Plate, because if she's definitely going to be there, and how will Via Sestina handle Pride of Jenny being in the race and also the tight turning circuit. But she was fantastic. She's a great mare. We're going to see in Dano's ratings later on that she rated incredibly well, and she deserves to be just about favourite in the race, but there's a lot of other good horses in it.
It was just the way she fought, I thought, was fantastic, because and it turned out to be such a great race and so deserving of that Group 1 status, because we do see some below par Group 1s, but this certainly wasn't one of them. Buckaroo, of course, second. He's really hit his straps this spring, winning the Group 2 Chelmsford and then the Group 1 Underwood, and now he narrowly misses in the Turnbull. Now, you posed the question on X, Richard, as to what you'd do with him, Cox Plate, Caulfield Cup, and we can see the results there. It's the fans of Wolf Den certainly think Caulfield Cup's the go.
Yeah, it's the logical place to go. A lot of commentators out there are saying that Buckaroo's a real live chance in the Caulfield Cup. It's not saying a whole lot because he will be favourite, but overwhelmingly head towards the Caulfield Cup after the race. Charlie Duckworth did say that it's going to be a bit of a conversation go on as to where exactly Buckaroo goes. Elias was the one that a lot of people wanted to talk about. I think Elias gets a pretty good drop in the weights into the Caulfield Cup. Reminds me a bit of Fioronte, the way that Fioronte profiled on his way to a Melbourne Cup win. A lot of people are very bullish about Elias. What about the Beat Brigade, Rog?
Yeah, well, that's right. Connections of Warmonger, being Michael Felgate. He was just hoping he'd run well on, or run on well at the finish. He ran 11, 7.5 lengths off the pace. He'll go to that Caulfield Cup. And he's certainly blown out in the market. I think he was $5 now up to $15. So I thought he was a bit disappointing on the weekend. What were your thoughts?
Yeah, no, I couldn't give him a pass mark off that at all. Obviously, you got to forget because you got to forgive because Via Sestina did exactly that. It was disappointing last start, but came out and was very impressive. But look, I mean, Via Sestina's done at the top level many more times than Warmonger has. A lot of improvement in him. I certainly wouldn't be touching him in the Caulfield Cup at any price. I'd need at least 30 or 40 to 1 at the moment. Huge step up from winning a Queensland Derby to winning a Caulfield Cup. Yeah, he ran all right first up, but leave me out of him for now. But look, I hope I'm wrong, because I'd love to see the connections, including Michael Felgate, who does a fantastic job, taste some Group 1 success.
He's already had Group 1 success. I did not want Warmonger winning a Caulfield Cup. You'd never hear the end of it from Mick. It'd just be relentless. Chris Waller knows how to win Group 1s, as he, of course, proved. That Great Wall of Waller extended from Flemington all the way to Randwick, because he dominated up there, as did Zach Lloyd for that matter. They paired up to win the Flight Stakes with Lady Shenandoah, but in the Metrop, Lloyd had to settle for second on Zardozzi after an appeal for interference, or protest for interference, fell short. Waller and Reece Jones got the nod with Land Legend. It was a fantastic race. The way they They dueled down the straight. It was a bit like the Turnbull in that respect, but they just went, they broke away, and it was just neck and neck and shades of bone crusher our Waverley Star in some respects.
Yeah, brilliant race. I didn't think that the protest should have been upheld simply because you can see here on the screen that Zardesi basically gets ahead of Land Legend, then Land Legend comes back and wins it. So, you know, where the interference happened, it was, you know, didn't have a huge consequence on the race. Maybe you disagree. A lot of other people thought that it should have been upheld. Fantastic runs by both of them. Land Legend now goes into both cups with a pretty lightweight, around 53 kilos. And so he'll be right in the thick of that. For me, Zardozi, I think the Zardozi at $15 in the cup, we might bring the market up for the cup now. There it is. You got Buckaroo up the top there. Elias, they deserve to be up there. Land Legend, $12 seems all right. Fia Sestina will definitely not go to the Caulfield Cup. Leave me out of Warmonger at $15. Zardozi at $15 looks the nice bet to me. What about you, Rog?
Yeah, I think you make a very good point, Miss Zardozi, and some very good judges, much better than I am, agree with you in that respect. So maybe it is worth, I'm not a big futures punter, but that does look like value. She showed what many have thought, that she's just been screaming out for a mile and a half, and that's where she'd be at her best, which of course means the Caulfield Cup could be her go. So yeah, $15, well, double the price Zardozi for than Buckaroo, I think. Yeah, I agree. I'd probably rather go into Zardozi at 15s and $7.50 for Elias and Buckaroo. Hey, let's look at the Bart Cumming. So let's head back to Flemington. Just Fine has got the golden ticket into the Melbourne Cup. Geordie Child's doing what Gay Waterhouse just loves. Go to the front and don't surrender.
Taking off for the 600 is Just Fine. Lovely ride by Jordan Childs. I think they go to him a lot because they know that he is very good at riding them out in front. I think he's hoping for a little bit of a penalty now into the Melbourne Cup because he might struggle to make the way. We're going to talk about that a little bit later on. But I think he will have another run before the Cup, but Team Waterhouse Bot have not said exactly what that will be. Point King was really good coming on strong there late. He goes into the Cup with 50.5 kilos, so a really lightweight. And we've heard this morning, Jamie Carr booked to ride. And Point King is $15 in the Melbourne Cup at the moment. I don't think that's the worst price, but I wouldn't be diving into that at the moment. But everything keeps going to plan with Point King. He's probably going to start shorter just because of the Lloyd Williams factor. They've done it so many times before, they know what they're doing.
Yeah, it must have been a tough decision for Jamie, but she's obviously taken the ride on the one she thinks is more likely to win the cup because the map, she's got a really close relationship with Dan Clark and Anoopy McGillivray, and she's ridden the map so many times and she loves that horse, but the thing is, being her weight, she can take her pick, and taking Point King, well, it just means the map. I think the map's a good shot at maybe a top five, top 10, but the Point King certainly looks a better winning chance. So that would be behind Jamie's decision. Ahmad was a real eye catcher. Even trainer Philip Stokes can't catch this horse. I can't believe the way he finished off there. It's incredible. An 11-year-old is one of the better stayers we've got.
Yeah. So interesting if he actually does end up the cup, but yeah, really savage the line. So yeah, I hope he gets into the cup. It'd be great to see. And Rog, what about the compression of the weights? There's a few dramas that some of our best jockeys might not be able to run.
Yeah, and they've ruled out making any changes for this year, which is disappointing to J-Mac. Mark Zahra misses out on a chance of going at three in a row, which, you know, I love the narrative, and it's disappointing. We want the best horses and the best jockeys, but I'm no expert in that respect, but it does seem like there's I don't know why they can't just raise the weights. It doesn't make a lot of sense to me, but someone may be able to put forward a far better argument. Funnily enough, for Mark Zahra, he misses his chance of going three. He could have had three last year had he not been suspended for the spring before, because don't forget, he was the incumbent on Very Elegant and then was suspended, which gave J-Mac the ride on that. So he could have had Very Elegant, Gold Trip, and Without a Fight, and now he misses the chance to three-peat. Exactly. Although Bossy did it on the same horse, so this would have been something very, very special. But yeah, it's disappointing we're not going to see our best jocks out there at the in the biggest race of the year.
I did hear Aaron Morrison during the week talking about acknowledging that it's not great. He said it's a bit hard to do anything about it on this Melbourne Cup because you know, a lot of people have nominated horses for it based on the current weight structure, but they're obviously going to have to do something next year. Because, yeah, it's no good if we don't have our superstar jockeys in the race.
Absolutely. You got to fight for your right to party. The Gilgai was a great race, albeit a little lost nearing 5:30 on an October afternoon. But right to party, great in winning. But there were probably a few out of this race that are worth following moving forward.
I really like the first four across the line. I thought they were all brilliant. You got Arkansas Kid out in front at the moment. You got Magic Time, the Group 1 winner, coming at it hard. Gets a little bit squeezed up here when Right to Party really savages the line. And, of course, Stretton Angel flying down the outside. So I think the first four across the line, a very good horse, and I wouldn't be surprised to see all of them winning Group 1 races in the next year. A little bit of chatter around Everest for Right to Party. I don't know how that would work. What did you make of the race, Rog?
Interesting race. In terms of the Everest, there's no slots left. So it could often have made their decision today. Of course, Yulong's still going to make theirs, but it'll be a Yulong horse. So interesting that Southport Tycoon, the way he came and won the Manicato, flying home, obviously probably better suited over further, but you could argue a case that he could absolutely win over 1,200 because there's a few horses in that Everest that aren't exactly firing on all cylinders.
Yeah, yeah. I'm like, for example, Private Eye got a slot over the weekend for Joe Pride with the Max Whitby slot, Neil Werrett slot. I'm like, I don't know why he wouldn't be taking Southport Tycoon over Private Eye.
Even Joe Pride said that he would have thought Think About It was better than Private Eye.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
it's not he doesn't get to decide. I mean, it's up to the slot holder. But interesting and yeah, we saw the Premier Stakes on the weekend. There's some Everest horses in that race that were very much below par. Think About It.
Yeah. And we know the Traffic Warden. Did you hear the Traffic Warden's been locked in for Godolphin slot with Jamie Carr, that lady Jamie again to ride? Did you hear that?
No, I did hear that, and I think terrific. I think Traffic Warden is a huge chance.
Okay.
Yeah. So anyway, we'll move on. Price Kent Stable.
Right to Party probably going the champion sprint now. And I can't wait to see her in that. I think she'll be a red-hot chance in that. Love to see her win a Group 1 in that.
The Price Kent Stable travelling very nicely, as are Yulong, as we mentioned. Absolutely flying the green and white. First settler looks a ripper after his narrow win over the stablemate Reserve Bank in the Dane Hill. First time in a while people would have been cheering for the Reserve Bank, I would have thought.
Yeah, look, everything went to script in this race. First settler popping up the rail there, Reserve Bank comes storming down the outside. You got Tarpaulin there, which is a pretty strong run for Godolphin. But look, they're both very good colts. Mick Price and Mick Kent Jr. would be very happy. Valuable commodities if they can go and win the Coolmore. They're going to be in the thick of that Coolmore stud stakes. Aniza, from your camp, Moody's camp, disappointing. Aniza was a really fast two-year-old filly. We saw her beat Lady Camelot, the Golden Slipper winner, in the Percy Sykes way back in the autumn. She was particularly bad, but look, you've always got to forgive, especially first up runs.
Moods was pretty keen on Aniza going into this, so she was definitely disappointed. She'd be better for the run, you'd hope. Looking ahead to the Coolmore, though, Rich, that's going to be one of the great races of the spring. And if you take a look at the market, you've got Growing Empire. And you think that if he's not the Yulong horse in the Everest, then he goes to the Coolmore and has a mortgage on this race. But Traffic Warden, again, will go to an Everest, maybe come down for the Coolmore, $6, $9 first settler, Stormboy, $9, Coleman, $11 with Mayfair. It's just, hey, Sugi, she was disappointing in the Manicato, but, back to her own age group. I think we say it every week, it's going to be one of the great races of the spring.
Yeah, it's going to be fantastic. Look, you got Stormboy there at $9, and that's probably his grand final. I bet you didn't think you'd get $9 about Stormboy in a Coolmore back 6 months ago. Even Lady Camelot, Golden Slipper, went at $15. Great race. Really looking forward to it. Growing Empire, $2.50. Don't know about that. Bit short for me at the moment, especially with all these horses sort of ascending.
That market will no doubt obviously shift over the next, we're 4 weeks away from the Coolmore. So we'll find out a bit more about a few of these runners over those next few weeks. We found out plenty about Chia Wolf on the weekend winning the Epsom, dropping back from the 2,000 metres of the Kingston Town to the 1,600. Just proved the perfect play from Joe Pride as Chia Wolf grabbed his maiden Group 1.
Yeah, quite extraordinary that he was considering running in the Metropolitan or the Epsom. And they put him in the Epsom and look at him come right down the outside. He didn't have a very easy run as well in the race. It was a pretty tough run, caught sort of 3-4 wide for a lot of the race, and it was just way, way too good for the rest of the field. Fourth Randwick Classic 1,600 metre win for Joe Pride. I think he's won two Epsoms, two Doncasters. And so I guess the big question is, where to for the Wolf now? And Trav Noonan...
Stole your thunder, posing these questions on X or Twitter or whatever we call it these days.
I've got to say that all I do all week is steal his thunder, so nothing wrong with him getting one back on me. And yeah, so interesting here. He put it up. Good sample size of 640 votes. And everyone thinks the Golden Eagle is the go for Chow Wolf.
I think you'll be going, well, it sounds like he'll probably go King Charles and then maybe into a Golden Eagle after that. Yeah. But Joe Pride was keeping his options open. He mentioned all four of those races as possibilities. So, yeah, we'll just see. Imagine having a horse where you've got those sort of options. It's quite interesting.
He reminds me of Might and Power. I went back and had a look at Might and Power. And the way that Chow Wolf is just rising through the ranks, a lot like Might and Power before he went and won a Caulfield Cup. I know that Chow Wolf's not going to line up in a Caulfield Cup, but yeah, Might and Power ran okay in Epsom, but had some very good runs before the Epsom, and then obviously brained them in the Caulfield Cup. And Chow Wolf just reminds me as well. There's that versatility over distance between 1400 up to 2400.
So Bright absolutely exciting. Didn't rule out a Caulfield Cup. Has not ruled it out. Unlikely, but hasn't ruled it out.
Yeah,
we'll see what happens. Hey, the thing we love every Monday when we're talking about these good horses is to find out how Dan O rated them from the weekend. Dan O'Sullivan's ratings came out this morning. And, Rich, no great surprises to who was on top after the weekend.
Yeah, I'm pleased to see that V Sustina rated so well. Obviously, the Turnbull is such a high-quality race, so she's going to get that rating. And I will read out a few of the explanations from Dan O, and you will as well. So we can start with V Sustina. 104.3 is right back on track for the Cox Plate. Clearly her best performance in Australia. Buckaroo and Elias are prime Caulfield Cup contenders out of this race. Over to you, Rog.
Chairwolf, 101.5. That was another peak. He has acceleration and was strong at the end of a fast run mile. For comparison, Pride of Jenny ran a 103.5 last year, so that's about 1.2 lengths quicker.
And here's the interesting one. Lady Shenandoah, 100.5. On fire, was highly impressive. Autumn Glow's best in two runs so far is 98.5. So, hey, you never know that. What's that saying? Is that maybe Lady Shenandoah could have beaten Autumn Glow, or certainly would have made her run very hard. And so, yeah, huge win by Lady Shenandoah.
Yeah, Dan did say on radio this morning that, you know, obviously the thought with Autumn Glow was she's progressive and she would have been better suited at that longer trip, so you would think that her rating would have peaked again, but it would have made for an absolutely cracking race. Airman was the big upset winner in the Premier Stakes, upstaging some more highly fancied rivals. 100.3, that was a new peak on his best. Previous best was 98.5, so a slow run Premier Stakes inhibited those from the back of the field. And Airman saluted there.
Just fine, a 98.5 matched his Group 1 Metropolitan win this time last year. Just fine is not on the screen there. And over to you, Rog.
Yeah, Land Legend, 98.5 as well. So the exact same rating as what Just Fine got in the Metrop last year, as you just said. Dan says he looks to have the potential to improve further. 53 kilos in a Caulfield Cup, assuming a 1 kilo penalty from 52. With his profile, places him among the genuine chances. Zardozi, as you said, Richard, also a genuine Caulfield Cup chance out of this race. Take the $15, punters.
I think $15 with Ladbrokes is a little bit of overs too, so go in there and snipe it now. The other big bookies are sort of like $13 and stuff. And just finishing off, it's not on the screen, but Dano says Ostrak improved on his 97 rating win first up. And Ostrak, trained by Annabelle Neesham, was in Randwick Race 10. It was tipped in the Annabelle set, which is our new show that we're doing in partnership with Annabelle Neesham and Rob Archibald. It was a really good show, received really well, so make sure you go and check that out this week. And Ostrak might even get into Golden Eagle conversations. I think Ostrak is putting together a bit of a picket fence. We'll be in the Silver Eagle next, not this Saturday, but the Saturday after, and then maybe onto the Golden Eagle. So there you go. Dano's ratings done and dusted for another week.
Yeah, the Caulfield Guineas Day, of course, this weekend. Now, we'll get to our likely fields at the end of the podcast, but it is a chance for our listeners, Rich, to head along for free. That means you don't have to pay.
Yeah, that's right. To the Caulfield Guineas meeting, it's not like it's some lesser meeting. It's their number one meeting, you could argue, and you're going to get to see horses like Another Will, Mr. Brightside, Broadsiding, maybe even Pride of Jenny. We're going to talk about that in a second. Maybe Pride of Jenny will be there as well. So if you want to go, the link is in the description on our YouTube channel, and you can go and hit the link, and away you go and have a great day at the Caulfield Guineas on the dime of the Melbourne Racing Club, who are good friends of ours and always look after everyone in the den.
But if you're not at the races, if you don't win tickets or you're not going to go and you're sitting at home, the live stream, the Wolf Den live stream, is on for Caulfield Guineas Day. So that is where you should be tuning in if you are not at Caulfield. Oh, I mean, if you're at Caulfield, you can still tune in if you can get if the free Wi-Fi is good enough.
That would be impressive. Yeah, we're live streaming this weekend. We're live streaming next weekend for the Caulfield Cup. We're live streaming Cox Plate Eve on the Friday night, which is Moonee Valley Gold Cup. Then we're live streaming Cox Plate as well. Plenty of live streaming coming your way. We love doing it, and we love all of you watching it, getting involved in the comments. So stay tuned. A lot of live streaming coming at you.
Stewards Room Speed Round.
Stewards in 60. Nothing out of the Flemington, really, Rich. And surprisingly, not a heap out of Randwick either. And I say surprisingly because... Well, we did allude to it. Some interesting rides, tactics, performances in the Premier Stakes. Mainly think about it. Who jumped well, was taken back to last and was poor. Joe Pride said it was just a train wreck from start to finish. And I've mentioned that interview a few times. If you get on the RSN's Spotify and you can have a listen, he seems as honest as the day is long, Joe Pride. So it's worth listening to him because I find him a very, very interesting cat. Giga Kick also disappointing after his owner, Jonathan Munns, last week stumped up and leased a slot in the Everest for the 2022 champ. Anyway, Reece Jones won his maiden Group 1 in the Metrop, but copped an 11-day suspension earlier for careless riding aboard Aussie Mozzie in Race 2. Jace Collett got 8 days for careless riding on interjection in Race 4. Zach Lloyd copped 2 reprimands for careless riding in races 5 and 10. So that soured his day a little bit, but I think he would have been happy with the results nonetheless.
Cook the Book.
Well, it's time for the most popular segment here on .com and the Den Mondays. It is Cook the Book. Tom Hackett from Ladbrokes and also Kingsley Bartholomew back from his speech in the Bahamas after a week off. Tommy, we'll start with you, mate. The Turnbull Stakes, the three favourites ran the placings, but the favourite didn't win. What was the betting like on this race from a Ladbrokes Book point of view in the end?
It was a really interesting race, Rog, from a betting standpoint, because we went into the race with quite a few losing results. There was a number of horses that definitely weren't on our side, and Via Sestina was one of them. She was a $439,000 loser for the book, and that photo finished between her and Buckaroo, her stablemate, was a big swing. Buckaroo, of the horses in the market, was the horse we kept the safest, and it was our best result. It was a $232,000 winner. So about a $600,000 swing there with Via Sestina getting her nose in front and stamping herself once again as a leading contender for the Ladbrokes Cox Plate.
Yeah, Kingsley, welcome back to you. How did you play things on Saturday? Did you manage to pay for your little sojourn last week? We did miss you here, you know, as you were sunning yourself.
Oh, I wish I didn't come back, to be honest, Rog. No, I didn't handle things very well on Saturday at all. I had a complete strip out, but I did enjoy the week away. So, no, it was good. I wasn't quite in the Bahamas. It was just down the south coast, but I was very happy down there. I wish I was still down there. It's beautiful weather. Via Sestina, I actually stayed out of that race. But what I did do after the race was go back and have a look at Chris Waller, which we've heard a bit about his stats. So, first up, wins 1%. Second up, he loses 8%, and third up, back to that 1%. So there's a real dip in the second up horses, which we saw with Via Sestina. So we've heard a lot about it lately, and often these things that you hear are missed, but this one isn't. So be careful of those Chris Waller horses second up, and more importantly, forgive them second up and chime in third up. But I nearly jumped on Via Sestina, then the rain came, and I didn't, and I missed the price, and that was just the story of my day.
I'm thankful I did forgive her for that last run because it was about the only winner I did find on Saturday. Let's go now to the Epsom. Shio Wolf won that race. He was favourite, Tom. Did this put a dent in the Ladbrokes book because there were some experts that were very keen on him dropping back from the 2000 to the 1600?
Yeah, this was the start of a real punter fight back late in the day in both Sydney and Melbourne. Shio Wolf was a big loser for the Ladbrokes book. Lost $362,000 on the race. He wasn't our worst result on the race. We had some very nasty liabilities in this race. Kovalika, we had standing him for almost $1 million. He was an $886,000 loser. Has been a long time between wins, but he did loom up at one stage and there were some nervous moments in the trading room. Major Beale was also a big loser in the race, was a $701,000 loser. So Child Wolf, a bad result for the book, but it definitely could have been a lot worse.
Kings, is Joe Wolf a horse you'd be looking to follow this spring? He seems to have plenty of options.
He's got a lot of options because he's just so versatile. Yeah, absolutely, I'd be following him. But I saw Joe Pride saying he wasn't sure what his best distance was. He was thinking of backing him up 7 days into the Hill Stakes or going to the King Charles. But Chairwolf can go from 1,400 to 2,400. So there are a lot of options. But just that sprint is just off the charts. Great ride by Chad Schofield on Saturday. So he's definitely in the mix for a race like the King Charles.
Yeah, well, the futures markets are there to play, Tommy, at Ladbrokes, no doubt.
Yeah, is that interesting? Like, I think it's rare to think of a horse that has had this many options, and you can show his versatility. He's the first horse since Klang-a-Lang, who did the double in 2003, to win the Epsom after being placed in an Australian Derby. So it's quite a unique achievement what he's pulled off. And I honestly don't think he would look out of place in a race like the Ladbrokes Cox Plate. We know the Epsom doesn't normally prove to be the strongest form reference into a Ladbrokes Cox Plate, but just the way that his racing style, and in a high, it looks like he sucks up a high pressure. We know the Ladbrokes Cox Plate this year, we're assuming is going to be a high pressure race. He could be one that could just really find the line and run a big race.
Yeah, well, Joe Pride, that's the race he really wants to win, a Ladbrokes Cox Plate. But he is thinking, I heard him this morning say that maybe next year, Joe Wolf is his Cox Plate horse. But you never know. It's going to be an intriguing race nonetheless. Hey, Autumn Glow, this is a horse I wouldn't have minded seeing in the Cox Plate. Unfortunately, she came out of the Flight Stakes on Friday and ultimately the spring courtesy of a bone chip. Now, plenty of punters would have piled in on her early time. I certainly had her anchoring a few multis and was disappointed when she came out. Was it a reload job on the new favourite Snow in May, or did they more keep their powder dry, not knowing what to back once Autumn Glow came out?
It wasn't quite a reload job, Rog, but it was pretty close. Snow in May definitely became the best backed runner in the race and was our only losing result heading into the race. She was a $265,000 loser for us. Lady Shinoda ended up being quite a good result, one of our better results in the race, actually. Which is a surprise considering she was the second favourite. And she won like I think we would have expected Autumn Glow to win. It was a very, very impressive performance. And maybe we were expecting Autumn Glow to be the filly to follow, but Lady Shinoda has certainly put her hands up to be one to follow as well.
Kings, I'll ask you whether you won or lost, but you've already said it was a strip out and it looks like all the furniture that's behind you has disappeared. The shirt off your back is going to go soon. Where did you lose your coin on Saturday, mate? What was the worst result for you? Because I'm feeling your pain.
Yeah, Snow in May was actually my worst result, and I got the race wrong form-wise, and I also got the betting wrong. I noticed Ladbrokes were really keen to lay Snow in May earlier. They were 2.40. When I betted around 10 a.m., I took 2.40 and 2.30 everywhere, and I got that wrong as well because she eased out to, I think, 2.70, 2.80. You could get at the end in a few places, so... I handled the race wrong and I got the wrong result as well. And there was good money for the winner, the lady at the end as well, $3.50 into about $3. But yeah, that was my biggest bet for the day. The other one was Sergeant Major in an earlier race in Melbourne. I took about $3.80. They were my two biggest plays for the day and zero collects, unfortunately, for those two.
Tommy, usual questions for you. What was the biggest sting where the punters got Ladbrokes on the weekend and also where you guys got the punters? And then give us an overall picture of how the Flemington and Randwick books finished up.
Via Sestina in the Turnbull Stakes was the worst result of the day from a Ladbrokes perspective, but it was really just the run the punters went on late in both Sydney and Melbourne. The punters finished in front the last three races in Melbourne, the last three races in Sydney as well, and that was enough in Sydney to make it a clear winning day for the punters. At one stage in Melbourne, the book was up almost $1 million, just over 900,000, but Via Sestina, Right to Party, the winner and the last, the punters found all three, and it ended up being just a small win for the Ladbrokes book, and the win for the punters in Sydney was bigger. So across the two feature meetings, Sydney and Melbourne, the punters did finish in front once again. Interesting one, the biggest result of the day from a bookmaking perspective was actually in the first race at Flemington. Normally, you know, punters, they like to start, ease into things a little bit, but they absolutely truckloaded Moby Dick. Moby Dick, we were standing for almost $600,000. And then the winner of that race, Warnie, ended up being a substantial winning result for the book. Our best result of the day, a $534,000 winner. So punters were keen to play very early at Flemington this weekend, and they were in trouble, but they got themselves out of jail in a big way.
Yeah, there were some form experts that had Moby Dick as their best of the day, so I'm not surprised that the punters followed them in with that sort of money. Kings, when you hear that the bookies were up $1 million and nearly lost a lot, it's just I'm feeling for them. It's tough.
Yeah, I mean, it's some solace out of the day for me hearing that news for sure. It's given me a bit of a prep in my step. But what I've got to do now is just sort of, I had a bad day Saturday, but it's just you got to work out where you went wrong and then knuckle down and straight back into it. So it's on again today. But I did get out on the grand final. The Panthers got me out yesterday, and I was also on Liam Martin for Churchill medalist. So
yeah,
it's all bad news.
We're not talking about that game, Kingsley. We're just completely ignoring the NRL. Tom, just finally, quickly, before we let you go, if the last three races in both Sydney and Melbourne were big results for the punters, did you see a lot more quaddies land? I know that's the last four, but did you see a lot more quaddies land on Saturday?
Yeah, the quaddie in both Sydney and Melbourne didn't pay a great deal. The last sort of four races in both jurisdictions sort of went as you probably would have expected. So, yeah, plenty of punters nabbed the quaddie, but it wasn't the biggest quaddie you'll ever see either.
Beautiful. All right. Thank you, gentlemen. We will chat to you next week on .com and the Den Mondays.
Sneak peek.
Caulfield Guineas Day this weekend at, well, funnily enough, Caulfield, Rich. 1600 metre group one for the three-year-olds. Broadsiding in terms of an all-in market, you can get $1.70 about broadsiding. Now, Traffic Warden's there, $9. He's not going to be there. I would think you're going to see broadsiding start significantly shorter once the final field comes out. So I'd be keen to step in now. This looks his race and only bad luck's going to beat him.
There you go. Well, Stormboy's got to come out as well. You've got to factor in the JMAC 100 Group 1 factor. I don't think that the Caulfield Guineas will be the first Group 1 on the day, so maybe he won't bring up 100 Group 1s in this race, or maybe he will. How do you know? But he'll be riding broadsiding, so that'll add another excitement element to the day. But it's going to be a great race, and I hope broadsiding wins and becomes the new superstar of the Australian turf that we need.
If we look at the market now for the Might and Power, the 2,000 metre Group 1 weight for age, and this is going to be a small field. We don't know how many exactly, but we've seen some small fields in the Might and Power before. Winx won with just two rivals 1 year. Mr. Brightside's $1.70, but we might see, the talk now is that Pride of Jenny could be going to this race, and she is not even in that market. So if Pride of Jenny goes in, that's going to force this market to flip on its head.
Changes everything. So probably what happens is Pride of Jenny goes in at, hard to say, I don't know. I reckon Pride of Jenny and Mr. Brightside would both be $3 or something, or maybe even shorter than that. But it would certainly change the market a lot. I got a feeling they might run her. I just think that they put her in. It seems like they've lost a bit of enthusiasm.
Sounds like that's heading that direction. Yeah. Tony Otterbury was on Moody on the mic last week, actually, and he was talking about, you know, potentially chartering a private plane up to Sydney for the King Charles, but the option also could float her if the standard flights didn't work out. But you know, it's not ideal going up by road when you want to go to a Cox Plate, and the Cox Plate's the priority. And yeah, it was so who knows now? This is a real spanner in the works since then. I mean, I am all for any time Pride of Jenny and Mr. Brightside line up against each other, especially if it is a small field.
Yeah, it's one of the great races on the calendar, the Might and Power. It's been won by all the champions in the turf over the years. And this, even Mr. Brightside's definitely a champion of the turf at the moment. Let's hope the Pride of Jenny's there as well, because it'll make for great theatre this Saturday.
Another wheel has been the favourite for the Toorak handicap for quite some time. $2.30, very short. Antino there at $7. Craig at $9. Double figure odds the rest. Pride of Jenny also a chance to line up here. I mean, it's just, it holds a nomination for the race. Desert Lightning, Moose's horse, sits there at $15 after a last start win. Orchestral's an interesting runner as well. The Kiwi, $12. So it's always a great day, Caulfield Guineas Day. And this looks like another really good race, but will it be where another Will gets his Group 1?
Yeah, well, Orchestral interests me. I think Orchestral's a good, great horse. Obviously, I'm pretty sure she won. It was the Vinery Stud Stakes. She won. She was a bit of a, she was favourite going into the Oaks, wasn't she? So yeah, I was pleasantly surprised when I saw that they were bringing her over and throwing in the deep end. This is a pretty hot Toorak, so they've thrown a ride in the deep end, and interesting to see how she goes on Saturday and where she goes beyond that. But it'll be a great race, and there's some good multis to be had, isn't there? You got, you know, broadsiding into either Pride of Jenny or Mr. Brightside in the Mind Power, and then into another wheel in the Toorak. So a lot of people out there like multiing up, you know, a few favourites, and you get whatever you get, $8 or $9. So yeah,
The only X factor is that if Pride of Genie does go in the Might and Power as to which one you take. I like to take a more safer option in a multi, and that is Pride of Genie is the right side, is a genuine flip of the coin. Yeah. And don't forget, another Will was a long-time short price favourite in the Doncaster. And obviously didn't win it. So who knows? It will be an interesting day nonetheless, and I can't wait to talk about it next week when we review on .com and the Den Mondays. The Spring Carnival is really starting to kick into top gear. We're at about fourth gear, I think, at the moment, Kiddies Day.
The footy's out of the way now. It's time to take things very seriously. There's no excuses anymore. We all come together for the next month and give it everything we've got.
Very cliche, real any given Sunday areas there, Rich.
On one big cliche, mate. Chances are you're about to lose. For free and confidential support, call the number on the screen or visit the website.